He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday morning. Welcome back to work. Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show with professional money manager, Bill Gunderson. President of Gunderson Capital Management, active, not passive. And Barry Kite, our resident in-house chartered financial analyst and certified financial planner. He'll be weighing in here in a bit. You know, let's just say we got a little stability here today in the market. We'll find out if it can hold. The Dow, however, has broken all support. It broke that level on Friday, and it's down another 85 today. So the Dow seems to be in the worst shape right now. And I think it's more sensitive probably to the U.S. economy than some of the other indexes. The Dow's down 85 to 29,504. Goodbye, 30,000. That's for sure. S&P is up, however, 6 points. There's some strength in tech today. And I hope it's not just short covering, which makes me wonder a little bit here. The S&P is at 3698. 3600 is a very key level for the S&P 500. In fact, 3636 to be exact. That was the low back in mid-June. The NASDAQ is up 113. What gives there? It's up 100 points. I suspect short covering, but I have not had a chance to look at a lot of charts yet here. But let's take it. The NASDAQ's up 109, 10,976. The small caps are up 7, a little bit of risk on here today. Crude oil's up 81 cents to 79.55. And the 10-year's at 3.77 today. Wow. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now, or is it Best Inverse Funds Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. We begin a new work week after Barry, another brutal week, really, in the market last week. I didn't have a lot. Is anybody having fun yet? I don't know.
Yeah, well, it's hard to even get excited about what's going on in the market today. I guess at least, like you said, we've got some stability. We've got a lot of Fed speak this week. We've got a lot of different Fed governors talking. We've got a good number of it's a data dependent Fed now, and we've got a number of different economic indicators coming out. And at the end of the week, we get the Fed's best, with the Fed watches for inflation, we get the PCE index on Friday. So
great.
Sure, it'll be another exciting week.
Yes, and we got to send a shout out to our folks in Sarasota in that area. My sister, I talked to her last night. She lives in Palmetto, which is just north of Sarasota, and it looks like right now Hurricane Ian is on track to come ashore near Sarasota. So we'll be watching that during the week. You're welcome to come stay at my house or Barry's house in his backyard if you need a place to stay. But, this is that time of season. It is September and October are always the worst. If we're going to get hit with a bad hurricane, that's usually when it hits. So our prayers go out right now for the upper area there of Florida on the Gulf Coast with Hurricane Ian. Okay, well, you know what? It was not a good week last week. The Dow broke its support. You know, it broke its support from June. Okay, that's not good at all. And it hit a 22-month low. So, we're going back now. We're dipping into the COVID year. If we gave up everything we gained during COVID, that would really be something. I don't expect that to happen, but we've lost a good chunk of what we gained during COVID. We're back to, during COVID, we got down to 18,200. We're still at 29,000. We're a long ways above that. But I'm not seeing a lot of support in the Dow here for a while. So we'll have to see what happens. It was down 700 points, I think, on Friday. Let's see, it was down 486 on Friday. The S&P was down 65. But for the week, it was not good. And, of course, the Dow hit an all-time high not that long ago, 36,952. That's when all our troubles seemed so far away. That was back on January the 7th of this year, 36,952. It never did quite get back to 37,000. But, Barry, I was listening. Did you hear anybody ring a bell on January the 7th say, this is the top?
Yeah, right. And I mean, the only bell I think we really heard was the day after Thanksgiving when, when Chairman Powell finally rang the bell on fighting inflation.
Yes, that's when he really said, "Okay, we're launching an assault on interest rates here." Okay, so we had we're back below the pre-COVID peak. First time it's crossed the key technical level since late 2020. So we're back to where we were. All the gains in 2021, all the gains this year, they're all gone. We're back to late 2020. Oil stocks continued to be weak last week. They're starting off on a weak note. I don't think that's because all of a sudden we've got the supplies figured out on oil and we're going to have plenty of supply. I think it's more pricing in a global recession, which seems to be the popular opinion going around these days amongst the analysts. And you know, if you want to crush oil in the oil industry, look what happened during COVID. That's all you got to do is go back to COVID when demand collapsed and oil went to a negative price. Okay. If we went into some kind of a global recession and had any kind of lockdown similar to COVID, that would definitely put the squeeze on the oil industry. The S&P lost 4% last week. The Fed did hike rates last week, 0.75%. But, you know, it's what they said afterwards. We were all expecting the 0.75%. But we were kind of hoping that we could get a little bit of backing off by the Fed, but they didn't give any indication of that at all. Unless you heard it. Did you hear any indication of that, Barry?
I wish. If I did, I'd let you, I'd certainly would let you know.
Yes, didn't hear it.
No.
The Goldman Sachs lowered their year-end outlook for the S&P to 3,600. Well, that's lower than where we are now. Okay, well, that's not good. The Bank of England is raising rates. Pretty much central banks around the world are hiking rates. Pretty much a coordinated effort to try to get global inflation under control. The housing market is not doing well. You know, all the new home sales, existing home sales, building permits, all of that are not being helped by interest rates that are now over 6%. When we were at under 3% a year ago. The energy sector lost 9% last week. You know what? I talked to my sister. We're about $3.25 on gasoline here in Charleston. My sister was in California last week visiting my brother. She paid $5.73. So there's a premium.
Wow.
There's a premium for living in California. There's an unleaded premium too. $2.50 more than what we're paying, at least here. Real estate was down 6% last week. Materials have just been crushed. Down 6% last week. Nothing was safe other than inverse funds. And I did write quite a bit about inverse funds in my newsletter over the weekend. Let's see what else. Oh, and we saw new lows. I was looking at the charts on Friday of things like Microsoft, Meta, Google. Ah, man, they look horrible. AMD. You know, maybe they're having a little bit of a bounce today, but they have some really, really ugly charts. The industrial stocks fell for the ninth straight day to two-year lows. We're talking Boeing, Caterpillar, you know, kind of the engines of the economy in some regard. Dow, Chemical, Honeywell, 3M, Deere, General Electric, the industrials, all looking really bad. Caterpillar just looks awful. That's a bellwether stock. And let's not forget, the global government bonds are on track for their biggest losses since 1949. Now, that goes back before my boomer era. I think it began about 49, the boomer era. We were playing a trivia game last night. I always take the boomer section. I go back to 1949 to see a bigger loss for the global government bonds, which are supposed to be one of the safest investments out there. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back. To the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now show. Well, the Dow just went positive by 18 points. We've got everything in the green. Crude oil probably lifting the Dow because that carries the crude oil stocks higher. Crude's up $1.39 right now. You've got the S&P now up 0.5%. It's up 20 points. And you've got the NASDAQ now up 153. That's a rally. Up 153 on the NASDAQ right now. I have not had a chance to dig in. I can't wait. Is this a time to be bargain hunting for the AMDs, the NVIDIAs, the Amazons? Yeah, you know what? I'm not gonna say that. Not yet. There's still a lot of risk out there. Here's some musings from the B of A strategist, Michael Hartnett. You know, I like to look at everybody's different opinions and their rationale for those opinions. He's talking about the bond crash. Global government bonds, which we talked about in the last quarter, are on track for their worst performance since 1949. Okay, this eclipses the bond losses of the Marshall Plan back in 49. And this crash will be even greater than in 1931 when the bankruptcy of credit standstill prefaced the Great Depression in 1920 following the Treaty of Versailles. So this is a pretty notable crash in the bond market. You know what? Our best performer this year, Barry, is TBT. It's become an outsized position in our individual bond fund. Has done very well. I don't know if it's a double yet. It may be. The bond crash. Now, why should we be worried about bonds? Go ahead.
I thought you were asking me. Yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of times in a portfolio, you're using them to help offset, you know, some of the equity risk that you're taking, as well as the people forget the bond market's much, much bigger than the equity market in terms of size of money in it. Whether it's government bonds, corporate debt, those things, when those things start seizing up or not performing, I mean, you can get into a liquidity crunch, which as we know, liquidity crunches are not, really good for any markets.
No. Well, the bond crash threatens credit events and liquidation of the world's most crowded trade, which is long the U.S. dollar, long U.S. tech, which is not so crowded anymore, and long private equity. Private equity is down 47%. There is an ETF that tracks private equity. It's been on the bottom for a long time, PSP. And the dollar is just insane, okay? It just has been rocketing higher. But he says, that eventually that's going to come to an end. That's all that's left. would be a sell-off in the dollar, and that could take us down even further. Now, here's his advice on how to treat this market. His advice is to nibble at 3,600. Okay, the S&P 500 is just above 3,600 right now, just above 3,600. And there is a little nibbling going on today. Bite at 3,300. Okay, I put in my newsletter over the weekend the various technical levels. You know, if the S&P doesn't hold 3,600, it's quite a ways down to the next level of support. And he's right, it is around 3,300. And the ultimate support, he says, gorge at 3,000. Well, that would be the next level of support on the S&P 500. And, of course, you got to go back a ways to get to 3,000. But those are the two next big levels. If we were to break below 3,600 on the S&P 500, the next level of support's about 3,300, and then after that it's 3,000. He's blaming geopolitical volatility, oh yeah, abnormal foreign longs in the U.S. market, and a lack of global and domestic policy coordination. All that is missing is a sudden reversal in everybody's favorite U.S. dollar long trade. Okay, well, that's just some musings there by Bank of America. Michael Hartnett, who's pretty well-known on Wall Street. How about, okay, talk about historic sell-offs, historic numbers. The pound in the United Kingdom is hitting an all-time low. Not a three-month, not a 20-day, an all-time low. And, of course, they've just had a big shakeup in the U.K., they have a new conservative leader who is vowing to frack. Okay, that goes against the grain of the European Union. She's cutting taxes. That goes against the grain of the European Union. And she's going to spend some money. I mean, she's going to cap those utility bills, and that's spending, okay? And that's one of the reasons why you have the dollar. There's not a lot of confidence that her agenda there is going to work. And over the weekend, you had an election in Italy. And for the first time in many years, you have a conservative, some call her far-right conservative, in the leadership position in Italy, which has been run by, you know, pretty far left for quite some time. So anyways, the UK, the pound hits an all-time low. An all-time low. There's a lot of scary stuff going on here. All right, let's see what else we got. Recession fears continue to weigh on global stock markets. Japan, they're not having a good time of it either, Barry. The yen has really been weak against the dollar. Japan's down 2.7% overnight. China's down 1.2%. India down 1.6%. So I guess, you know, we got to reiterate once again that most of this, of what's going on, is not limited to the U.S. In fact, it almost seems like the global market is infecting the U.S. You know, the problems, especially in Europe, seem to be also now infecting us because, you know, we're all trading with one another. And in the meantime, the yield keeps marching higher. Where are we at on the two-year today? Let me take a look.
I know there's a 55 basis point difference between the 10-year and the two-year, and the two-year is at 4.22%.
Yes, 4.22. So we're about 50 basis points away, or 50 basis point differential inversion, which is a pretty strong recession indicator, okay. Now we're starting to see the dollar come back a little bit. Tech stocks are rallying a little bit, but we still have that big inversion there between the two-year and the 10-year. ETFs tied to the dollar rise as the dollar index hits a 20-year high. Well, I look at UUP every day. You know, when you get a chance at home, look at a one-year chart of UUP. And you'll see what I mean by a dollar gone wild. Okay, when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about the situation in the energy markets and Europe's energy situation. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show, Best Inverse Funds Now show. Well, the Dow is negative again. Now it's down 27. Oil is the weak spot. The oil stocks definitely the weak spot in the market here once again today. And I don't think it's because we don't need it anymore. I think it's more of a matter of fear of a global recession. And I think we saw what can happen to oil when the economy's not going good. You go back to the COVID year when oil actually went negative. Now, I mean, it would take something draconian to get the economy to the shape. It was basically shut down at that point, Barry, right? I mean, we weren't driving anywhere.
Probably the least amount of industrial activity since the Industrial Revolution at that particular time. I mean, at least for a month. But of course, you hit the kind of the terms of the UK. I mean, you know, the strong dollar, is really. Showing you the weakness of some of these, whether it's Europe, whether it's, Japan, a lot of currencies out there showing you the weakness of their economies. And then, that's kind of, I think you're hit the nail on the head when you're talking about, that playing a big effect on, U.S., on the U.S., economic activity, because the fact that, the old adage where, U.S. U.S. sneezes and the rest of the world catches a cold. This is almost seems to be a bit of a reversal, because that strong dollar is going to be a headwind for multinational corporate earnings. It's going to be a headwind for our exports, which can a big export import imbalance can lead to negative GDP as well, like it did in the first quarter this year. So.
Well, maybe we should short the dollar here. You could go UDN, okay. UUP is up, okay, U up, and UDN is U down. At some point in time, I mean, that dollar is just like the guy at Bank of America said, it's the most crowded trade in the entire market. And I'm getting average people, or I don't know if they're average, what they do for a living, saying, hey, just buy the dollar ETF and call it a year and hold on to that. But you know what? I've seen these crowded trades before, and this is definitely the most crowded trade, where everybody seems to be picking on the problems of the world. It's kind of a way of an inverse fund against the rest of the world by buying the dollar, because their currencies are so weak right now because of various different circumstances. This buying of the U.S. dollar at some point in time, I don't see it holding up much longer, but, we'll just continue to watch it. Okay, Europe, the situation in Europe. Well, we know that Vladimir Putin is calling up 300,000. That's not going over well in Russia. There's a lot of resistance to that, but I don't know that they have a choice. He's even using captured Ukrainians to fight his own country. Don't want to go to war. Number two, he mentioned the, probably more than ever, in my lifetime, the use of nuclear weapons, let's not forget, and we're not bluffing. Okay, well, that's scary stuff there. And then to just throw more uranium, I guess, onto the fire here over the weekend. Anthony, I think it was Blinken that said, well, no, it was the other guy. I can't think of his name right now. But he said, well, okay, there will be dire consequences for Mr. Putin should he use any kind of a nuclear weapon. So, you know, since the Bay of Pigs, where we had the standoff, between Kennedy and Khrushchev, we haven't seen this kind of rhetoric before. It's almost like, only the stakes are very high here, okay? And in the meantime, Europe is scrambling, and the Europe's frantic search for gas continues. And, you know, a lot of these CEOs of the oil companies over in Europe, let's take a Total Energy, which is out of France, they say, well, all of a sudden, Europe wants cheap natural gas. That's just not going to happen, says the CEO of the French oil conglomerate. If Europe wants some security of supply, it's going to have a cost. Well, especially at this point in time. I mean, it's like running to get water at the Publix, you know, right now in Sarasota and down the line. The time to get water was quite some time ago. And here's the problem that Europe has. They want cheap liquid natural gas, and they want it now. But that's just not going to happen. Poland secures gas from Equinor. We know a little bit about Equinor. That's the Norwegian company. In a 10-year supply deal. So apparently Equinor has a supply. The gas will be transported through the new Baltic Pipe gas pipeline. And if there's not enough standoffs in the world, Barry, right now, you know, off the coast of Jerusalem, there's a spat. Or off the coast of Israel, there's a spat. There's a border spat between Lebanon and Israel. And there's some gas fields out there, and they're going to start extracting gas either this week or next week. And, of course, the Hezbollah in southern Lebanon is saying, you extract gas, and there's going to be severe consequences. And, of course, Israel is saying, well, if you sabotage our withdrawal of the gas from this pipeline in a way, you're going to face severe consequences. So on that happy note, Barry, airline bookings remain solid as higher fares and corporate demand stand out. But, well, you know what? It's kind of... Europe needs this gas, and everybody is scrambling now. You know, Cyprus, even Cyprus, the island of Cyprus is involved in this. And Israel does have these gas fields that they discovered, and Egypt has gas fields too. And they're scrambling to get gas extracted and get it running, you know, towards Italy and into Europe to help them with the loss of gas that they have from Russia. And it just so happens that there's this territorial maritime dispute over where the border is. And, you know, Lebanon claims that a big chunk of that gas field is in Lebanon. And these days it would seem that Hezbollah pretty much controls the country of Lebanon. So, you know, God help us if that turns into any kind of a war there over that gas field. Okay, let's see. Here's an indicator I've never heard of. James Paulson, chief. I know who James Paulson is, the Luthold Group. He says when Copper, the Dr. Copper, should be Dr. Pepper, Dr. Copper and fearful gold indicator is pointing to rising investor confidence. Do you see that? I mean, I don't care what copper and gold are doing. I'm just looking at the world in general.
Yeah, but to me, copper. I mean, to me, a lot of your commodities right now, it's hard to get an indication of them because of the fact that the dollar is so strong, which is a negative for is a headwind for commodities in general. So it's hard to kind of quantify or decipher sometimes, you know, how much the strong dollar, right, is having an effect on some of these commodity prices. I mean, take gold, for example. I mean, if you think, you know, if you're in an inflationary environment, you would think, right, you would think gold would be in its, you know, kind of would be having one of its best environments. But the strong dollar, rising interest rates in the U.S., you know, those are two factors that have kept gold under wraps.
Yeah, and gold has always been a fear indicator. So anyways, I don't give much heed to the Dr. Copper fearful gold. I think I'll have a Dr. Pepper instead and continue to watch this market. It doesn't look good. He's saying that there's all of a sudden there's investor confidence. Okay, I'm not seeing that at all. Apple confirms iPhone 14 production in India. Okay, they're going to diversify away from China. I think that's probably a pretty smart move because we saw what those COVID lockdowns can do in China. And, of course, we suffered, the supply chain suffered greatly in other areas other than just Apple's supply chain. So that's a good idea. Okay, when we come back, well, German, let's get this in here. German business climate indicator worsened in September, lowest value since May 2020. Things not going well in Germany. Okay, is there anything moving today? There's got to be. We'll be right back.
You got to go where you want to go.
And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show, Best Inverse Funds Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, 23 years as a professional money manager, Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And I just looked at the leadership in the market today. It's garbage. It's absolutely garbage. I mean, there's one stock. I found one stock worth talking about here. But other than that, you know, it's just not a good solid. As far as sentiment goes, and, you know, where Paulson is saying, oh, gee, the sentiment on the economy and on the market is improving, I don't see it. And as I look into the internals of the market, I mean, that's like looking under the you hear a funny noise in the engine, you know, and you look under the hood and you see all kinds of things that, you know, they're just not running very well at all. And I just don't like anything at all other than one stock, which I'll talk about here in a minute. What's going to really, really become crucial here? The quarter ends on Friday, the 30th. I think that's Friday. And then in a couple weeks, earnings season is going to begin. I say this about every earnings season, Barry, but this is going to be the most important earnings season in a long, long time. It definitely will be because we're going to get confirmation or not get confirmation of a potential recession out there, okay? And that's what the market seems. And, of course, you know, the market last time around during the last quarter was pricing in a very poor earnings season, and it ended up being pretty good. You know, it just didn't materialize the earnings misses and the downgrades. But I will say this, I'm starting to see more than the normal amount of downgrades in advance of this earnings season. And, you know, that's not a good sign that these companies are going to exceed their earnings. In fact, we're going to barely have growth over the last same comparable quarter from last year. We're looking at like 3.2% growth over the same quarter last year. I think we're going to have negative growth, okay? I mean, I hate to say it, but that's the direction I'm seeing in individual stocks. You know, I'll tell you where I'm seeing the biggest earnings revisions downwards is in the oil and gas sector, the energy sector. And, you know, I mean, it depends. It ebbs and flows with the price of oil, and you're under $80 now. You've got to start lowering those estimates for the oil sector, which is about 9 to 10% of the S&P 500. So it does have an impact. And I'm also seeing quite a few downgrades on anything real estate, construction, building. And that's just logical. And I'm also seeing quite a few downgrades to anything sensitive to the economy. I would just say the industrials, the Caterpillars of the world. So I just don't think that we're going to meet the numbers of a 3.2% growth in this coming quarter. And I've seen the earnings estimates for next year and the year after that. They're starting to get, revised downwards, definitely not upwards, downwards. You had the multiple close on Friday under 16, 15.6. But that is assuming that we make the estimates that are out there, you know, on the street right now. What that multiple is telling me is that there's not a lot of confidence in the numbers for next year, 2023. And the year after that, 2024. So you've got earnings season that's going to begin in 2 weeks. And I'm going to throw out one more big what if here between over the next 5 weeks is the midterm election. We're down to just 5 weeks. And there's going to be a lot of posturing. There's going to be who knows what between now and then. So you know what? The bottom line is the cash that we're now holding, it goes back, the percent of cash that we hold goes back to the time about the beginning of COVID. And as we got into the COVID mess, of course, we eventually deployed all that cash and invested it in March of 2020. But now we're back at those levels again through just a lot of attrition and through just taking risk off the table. And in addition to that, as you know, Barry, we own several inverse funds in what we consider to still be vulnerable areas of the market. Europe is very vulnerable. The emerging markets are very vulnerable. The U.S. still has some vulnerable areas. Tech is still vulnerable to further downside risks. So, and then we do own some, but, you know, we've lowered our exposure quite a bit to oil and gas. We don't have much.
And cash is one of the most popular assets out there at the moment.
That's a crowded trade. That's a crowded trade, isn't it, cash?
Right.
So anyways, like I say, I talked to four different brokers. They all work for the same firm here in my neck of the woods. It's a franchise. It's a nationwide firm, and they all run their own little office in different geographical areas. I just asked them. I knew what the answer was going to be, but I asked them, how do you guys handle in this? What is your prospects going forward? And I knew what their reply would be, and it was, well, you know, we just tell everybody when they called up real worried and hot and bothered to, you know, you just got to stay the course here. Well, hopefully we'll get back on course. But this course that we've been on, you know, beginning in February of last year of higher interest rates, we could see that coming from a long ways off. And the impact that that would have on the high PE stocks, we could see that coming from a long ways off too. So I don't know how you can just sit there and white knuckle it when there's so many obvious things in the market. Okay, well, if you'd like to get a review of your portfolio, if your broker is just sitting there doing nothing and telling you to stay the course and you want a second opinion, you can reach us at 855-611-BEST. We have a 24/7 hotline, right? Just like a plumber, 24/7.
Yes.
I should be giving out Barry's cell phone here. 855-611.
We'll be back with you in 10 hours.
That's right. 855-611-BEST. Call in the middle of the night if you have to. Get the newsletter and what I had to say about this current situation. I don't mince words. GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities.
Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.